my wife reminded us, or reminded me, that this would be the first time we have not been home for Christmas. I didn't realize that, but I don't know if that's a good record or a bad record, but it's a record. Long time not being. I'm enjoying not having to decorate the tree or all that kind of stuff. Or actually, I guess what I'm saying is I'm enjoying that somebody else is having to. That's what I'm enjoying. Somebody else is having to decorate the tree in the home. And, you know, and I tell some of my friends that listen, and some that don't, really, you ought to push some of this off on your kids sometime. It needs to get to be their turn after a while. You do it for 20 or 30 years, it's time to pass it on. Say, we'll come to your house. You fix, you cook, you clean. And I'm going to sit back and gripe. I don't know if you ought to do that, but... You know, that is the way of God. If you go against that, you go against the way of God. You're not to always be the mother and the father in that realm. You're supposed to shove that off on some other people. That's the way lineage is designed. And anything else is, you're just old stubborn-headedness. That's what that is. Now, will I do it? If they show up, we'll do it again. But I think I got better plans from now on. We're going to show up at their doorstep. Hallelujah. Not to pay them back, because that's the way it's supposed to be. All right. By the way, we are the intolerant ones. If you want to know who's intolerant, present yourself as a Christian and find out who's intolerant. We serve the tolerant one, and we're in his likeness and image. We don't try to kick them off the face of the earth. They try to kick us off. So don't let people call us names without some resistance. Connie said that that you were a faithful bunch, and that is the truth. She said it's hard to find faithful people, but it really isn't. It's very easy to find faithful people. Most are very faithful to themselves. That's who they're faithful to. They're not faithful to anyone else. They're not faithful to anything else. It's just what I want, I get. That's called sin. All faithful to yourself. I don't like you, so I'm moving on. Now, if anybody wants to teach that as a gospel, then I praise God he doesn't look at us that way. Amen?
Amen.
What I'm putting into you is a little bit of fight. I'm tired of being the gracious, merciful one. In their terminology and their definitions. I'm not that. I am the righteous one. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, you know what you're saying? Yeah, I know what I'm saying. As long as I act like Jesus, everybody else is wrong. Everybody that doesn't act like Jesus is wrong. Can you say that? Everybody that doesn't act like Jesus is wrong?
Yes, sir. Everybody that does not act like Jesus is wrong.
Now, that's not judgmentalism. That's the truth. That's the truth. You know, I got thinking a while ago about, Bill was talking about a situation where he stood against some homosexuality and he is the wrong one. Have they ever heard of the word sodomy? Do you know where that comes from? The city of Sodom, a sodomite. We've passed laws against homosexuality. So don't tell me I'm wrong. I'm going to look in your eye, and if I get vehement, I may spit in your eye while I'm preaching. Homosexuality is one of the most blatant forms of selfishness. That's the true definition of homosexuality. I like my gender better than yours. That's selfishness because it goes against the plan of God. I don't care what you like and don't like. I don't care what you like and don't like. I don't care your opinion. You're just getting old and stubborn. Praise the Lord. What's the definition of whorehairs? Whorehair. You biblical scholars. White hair. Brings you honor, right? It's to be honored. Is that correct? So old age is not a dishonor. Well, I have to get on your side, Harry. It doesn't do me any good to go against it. I told my wife, I looked in the mirror and I said, you know, I think I'm going to have a pretty head of white hair. She goes, she didn't show me any honor at all. I said, well, can you tell me what good is it going to do to kick against the pricks? It doesn't do any good to make up your mind, I'm not going to get a white hair when the Bible says that's a badge of honor. Both my granddads had gorgeous white hair. I'm looking forward to it. And then saying, you want to do something about it? You understand what I meant by that? I want to have enough fire in the hole to be feisty. Okay. Well, let's pray. Lord, we look for you this morning. We seek you. We hunger and thirst after you. Give us the ability, the mannerisms, and the way to get across the love we have for you as we speak about you today. We want to be changed by your presence, by your word, written and living. We love you, Lord. We place you at the highest place right now. Nothing else that's gone on or is going to go on will take the place of our thought process towards you. Help us to honor you today. We ask you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to include a little bit of the righteous in this towards the latter part, and then we'll go on to part three when I get back. We love you guys. I want you to tell you that up front. We love you. Thank you. We're going to miss the crazy New Year's Eve party. I'm going to prophesy that it's crazy because that's part of the fun, right? And I know we're going to miss it. I don't know what the kids have designed, but it won't be as comfortable as what would be here. Amen? By the way, we brought a few pictures back there on that back table if you'd like to look. Jason's in Eastland, Texas. He's not home. He's visiting relatives with his family. So, if you turn with me to Luke chapter 2, we're going to touch on the Christmas story. Once again, this is not a good write or a good read. This is history, it's present, and it's future. It's real, it's alive, and I want the living word to make it alive to us today. Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all were to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth a firstborn son, her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I missed one caption here. I wanted to caption this with how Jesus was introduced to the world. This is a declaration of how Jesus was introduced to the world, okay? Let's go on. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Now we know it was for the world. Amen? Verse 11. "For there is born to you, this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men." Now, why were they singing that? Because God, who is the giver of all gifts, gave the gift. Right? They were not praising the babe in the manger. They were praising God for His gift to them. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. We understand that He was sent to give peace that passes understanding and goodwill. This gift was God's token of goodwill towards mankind. In other words, we are now to know that God is not mad, He's not against us, but His will is for good to mankind. Okay. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. All of a sudden, after they could see him, they weren't afraid to repeat what God had said. Too many of us are still like that. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Now, that's how it was introduced to the entire world, as a gift to the entire world. Let's start with that. I want to, the giver of all gifts gave Jesus the gift. Okay? And He was introduced as Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Not Jesus with us, God with us. Did you? What struck me here was that nobody was impressed with the babe lying in the manger. Now, I know that was unusual, but what, as we read that, what impressed the people? That was part of it, but angels didn't visit everybody. I don't know who all these shepherds were. I don't know who all these men were that the angels visited. But they were impressed by the visit of the angels. But they went to see. It impressed them to go see if this is true. Now, I don't know if you guys are that way. Angels come and talk to you, and then you'll go, "Well, we'll check it out." That's probably not exactly normal, but maybe we are that doubting people. When they saw everything that the angels had said, they saw. It was confirmed. That's when they began to praise and speak of the things that they saw. And it says they widely spoke of that. The word went out when they were impressed, not with a babe lying in a manger, but that God's word had come true.
Amen?
Amen? Yeah. Now, God's word coming true was, they didn't even know yet Emmanuel. They could not even see yet what Emmanuel meant. But they could see that it was important enough for angels to announce it. It was important enough to prove the angelic verbiage. And they were so impressed, they went out across the world and told everybody what they saw, giving praises. And I think not only their speech, not just their speech was impressive, but the praise and the glorifying of their God is what really impressed the people, because they could see the excitement in these guys. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, have we met, do you know a Jesus that creates excitement in you? Do you know a God that creates excitement in you? Or do you just know a Christmas story that's a nice little fuzzy feeling time? Call His name Emmanuel. Do you understand today, this moment, you and I are still figuring out the breadth and depth of the word Emmanuel? We haven't gotten, the world has not gotten over that yet and never will. God with us means everything that God is, everything that He has done, and everything He intends to do is with us.
Amen.
We can start with some of the names of this gift, the gift that God gave. By the way, can God give anything but Himself? You answered me quickly. I want you to think about that. God can only give what He's got, and all is His. But He can only give you what he's got. And the announcement was goodwill to all men. And if we'll factor that in, if we'll think about everything that goes on in this world, not demonic things, I'm not talking about that, but the things that go on in our normal life is showing us God's goodwill to us. We have no right to complain. We have no right to complain. I don't know how many times lately I'm beginning to see things that I don't like turn out right. And if I judge them to be wrong, I would be an unrighteous judge. To be a righteous judge, see, we could walk up to the manger and we could say, this is not right. God said, his name is Emmanuel. What's he doing out here in this manger? Well, because it was right. Well, it's just not right. This place stinks. It stinks of animals. Lay on hay. What if he's got an allergy? Come on, I'm just dredging up some of the things that you people say, we people say. What if he gets one of those straws up his nose and dies? Look at that garbage rags he's wrapped in. Why can't somebody find some good stuff? That's the way people look. Instead of looking at it like he must be exactly where God wanted him to be. Come on. I'm looking for a response because you guys end up in a manger once in a while. Just like I do. And we've got to say at that moment, God has gotten me exactly where he wants me. And I'm not going to be discouraged about that. Because God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. Some of the names that are given to Jesus. My perfect day. Wouldn't it be great if we could just wake up in the morning, hearing once again that God announced Emmanuel is with me, then I happen to know that my perfect day is with me.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with this day. It's exactly where I'm supposed to be. Right time, right place. The Emmanuel that was given to us is that God's life, my life, if I'm where I'm supposed to be, my life has become God's life. God's life has become mine. So the life of God is right here. It's right here. Anybody that tells me anything different, I'm going to have to correct them. I owe them that. Well, you don't look like much like God to me. Well, how do you know? I can tell by your attitude you ain't seen him for a while. He's my Lord. You know, I got to thinking about that picture. You know, I'm back to pick up one of those pictures of Jason. I was thinking about that earlier today when I was thinking about how we say my Lord. What kind of an impact that has if we could just realize that I am not my Lord. I haven't got anything to say about what I do or think or where I'm at or anything. I thought about this in the I don't know if you can see that, but this is Jason. He's re-upping for his next tour of duty, and this is in Afghanistan. Now he's full of pride. He's macho and he's hot. If you don't believe him, ask him. He'll tell you. He'll tell you all about his job, how many people he can kill, and how many people he can do. You know, boy, this is gung-ho. Hoo-ah! You know what he's doing? Only what he's told to do. The military comes with extreme pride because they only do what they're told to do. Now, how can that be? How can a proud people be proud because they only do what they're told to do? I can tell you, when you serve God, when you call him Lord, you have access to extreme pride. Because those men are so full of pride because they serve a country that does right. So they can have pride. How much more should we have? If we serve a Lord that only is a righteous God, then we can walk with our shoulders back and say, whenever I do the work of God, whenever I speak the word of God, I am right. And there's nothing, guys, there's nothing better than being right. Nothing better than being right. He's my Messiah. What does that mean? My Messiah. He was the one that was born for me. And I was born for Him. Messiah. He's the light. He's the coming one. He's my provider. The trouble is, we can't fathom the scope of what that means. No more than we can Emmanuel. He is my provider. These are the names that He's called in His written word. My provider. Well, that means money. Oh, really? There's a lot more important things than money. They were sick last week. Ask them if it's better to be well. Can't buy it either. You can't buy feeling good. God, is by His bruises and stripes, we feel good. We're healed. Better than being sick. Can't buy it. He's the lover of my soul. And nobody in the world has the right to say nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go out and eat a worm. He's my banner. You know what my banner means? This is the banner. It's whatever He stands for, that mark, that flag, that emblem. He's my banner. He's my title. He gives me prestige. He gives me ability. He gives me looks. He gives me feelings. He's my title. He gives me who I am. He's my heritage. He's my rightness and He's my righteousness. Unto you, I give this gift. You don't have to take it, by the way. Bill alluded to it this morning. You don't like this? Head to someplace else. It's your choice. That's what God says. Here I am, right, righteous, Emmanuel. You don't like it? Take another banner. And many people will. You know what happened when Connie married me? She gave up her name and took mine. And you are the bride of Christ. What are you supposed to do? So He's called my name. Not by name. He is my name. He's my reason for existing. He's my peace. He's my bright morning star that guides. He's the one that's always there. You know anybody that's always there? In times past, I've known some people were there too much. But He's always there, and I like it. He's also everywhere. His name is everywhere. That's beyond our comprehension, but we must receive it as fact. He's the only God. He's my strength. He's my power. He's my authority. He's my salvation. He's my future. See, you guys think you have a future. You have no future without God. All your plans, count them as dung without Him. Besides that, the Bible says His plans are greater than yours. He's my healer. He's my abundance. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, then you serve the God of lack. You take Him. I'm going to take the God of abundance because that's His name. He doesn't have a God of lack name. There's no place in there you can find that. He's my wisdom. Then how dumb are you? If He's your wisdom, how dumb are you? You're not dumb, are you?
No.
Well, don't let anybody ever tell you you are, because that goes against the will of God in your life, including you. You don't tell you that. He has all understanding. He's revelation. He's the King. He's all knowledge. Not your encyclopedia and not your computer. The computer is just a compilation from a bunch of dumb people. Oh, some of you didn't like that one too much. Your computer is dumb. It is so, so limited. God is not limited and He's not dumb. All knowledge is wrapped up in Him. If you want knowledge, you'll go to Him. He's your all in all. What does that mean? Well, there's nothing else. You don't need to be looking for other fulfillment. He's light. He's light. He's joy. If you ever meet a sad Christian, they're probably not a Christian. Can they be sad for a moment? In a moment of weakness, it's okay. God will forgive them. You forgive them. Don't let them get by with it. Tell them they're wrong. Wah. Give them one of those. Wah. I feel so sorry for you. You need to talk to God a little bit. He's my comforter. I'm not your comforter. I warn you, I am not your comforter. Don't come to me for the fuzzy feeling. You can go to God for that. He's got a lot of it. And His is lasting, long-lasting, because that's another one of His names. Long-lasting. He's my Father. I thought about this, Bill. If that other problem continues, you got other family members here. Go somewhere else. If your family won't stick with you, look for one that will. And don't feel bad about it. Let them feel bad. He's my brother. He's my father. He's my brother. He's my husband. He's my shepherd. Why? Because God said so. When did He become all these things? When I said so. He's my advocate. Need a lawyer? He's a good one. He's the Word. These guys go around saying, Word, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. They look at each other and say, Word. And maybe they need to be introduced to the Word. And they wouldn't go around wasting that title on other people or other statements. He's my hope. By the way, I keep using this personal, but this was what was introduced to the whole world as His title. It was a free will offering from God the Father. The only truth, the only hope. He's my hero. He's my help. If He's not this to you, you need to listen. My shelter. So you thought that was your house. No, there's too many things that can take that apart. You need a better shelter. He's my rock. My foundation. He's my food. He's my drink. Is it all right to get drunk in the Spirit? If He's your drink, it is. Yeah. He's my eternity. He's my now. If He is everything, if He's all of these things, what else do we need to be looking for? Seeking for, hungering for. Oh, I wish I could do this. Oh, I wish I had that. Oh, wish in one hand, spit in the other, see which one gets full the quickest. I have a God the Father. Even the shepherds way back then believed this. Here is my gift to the world, a free will offering. Here's His titles. Start with Emmanuel. Will you receive it? Do you know Emmanuel? He's all in all. Now I'm going to go another direction. This is how Emmanuel was introduced to Mary. So let's go back from a worldwide look to an individual look. Everybody in here's name Mary?
Yeah.
Well, yours is. Anybody else's?
Yeah.
All right. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Do you realize that God's plan was for the world before it was for Mary?
Yeah.
You got to understand that, because that makes us understand what happened. Gift to the world, gift to all of us Marys. Verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel. Now when was Jesus conceived? Not in the sixth month, right? Jesus was conceived as a gift to the world. but in the sixth month conceived to Mary. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one." Now this is an unmarried woman pregnant, and this angel is saying, "Highly favored one." Now I don't think she was feeling all that good about that, just to be honest with you. The angel came and said, "You're favored. This is a good thing, not a bad. When God visits you, what's he going to tell you? This is a good thing, not a bad, no matter what situation it is, right?" And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Anybody have the Lord with them this morning? So your name is Mary, right? Okay. "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what a manner of greeting this was." She's scratching her head and said, "What was that about?" Then the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." How did Mary find favor with God? We're gonna run across it in the midst of "Be it unto me according to your will." That's how she found favor with God. We'll see it here in a second. By the way, this didn't happen right now. This happened at the time of conception. Did you understand that the Holy Spirit didn't move on Mary until she said it was okay? Teach your daughters. That's the way it works. Don't blame the guy. It's when you say okay, it's when it happens. Right, brides? Okay. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Didn't say one day we're going to get overrun and they're going to take us over. "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary.'" Anybody hear his name's Mary? "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." This is the personal introduction of Jesus to every individual in the world. "Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." How many of you have been called barren? "For with God, nothing is impossible." "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the servant of the Lord, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Now, I want to tell you what being filled with the Holy Spirit is. It's when you've passed the name of Jesus and gone into the man of Jesus. Born again is when you say, "Okay, okay, okay, I give up. Just, okay, God, okay, get off of my back." Now, come on, some of you have been born again under those circumstances. You know what I'm talking about. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of arguing. Okay. Come on, I know that's not the best salvation message you ever heard, but that's pretty much the way it worked with me, and I'm sure most of you. Then there's a step beyond that, because nowhere did we see that Mary got saved. It said that she, because she was a righteous woman, met the Holy Spirit. Because of her righteousness. What does that mean? Well, back then it meant she obeyed the commandments of God. Bill was told this last week that you can't legislate morality. And I thought, that's what the Ten Commandments did. It legislated morality. Right. Don't tell the owner of the universe that he can't legislate morality. He's already done it. Yeah, right. And if you don't go along with his legislation, you're wrong. Why do you think Mary said, "Whoa, I ain't been with no man"? Because she hadn't been. She was obeying the rules. God said, "I know that. That's how come I can use you." Whoa. Stan gone to meddling now? You want to be used? Stay a virgin with God. Don't whore around, buddy. When the Holy Spirit visits, what's the sign of being filled with the Spirit? Jesus' birth. That's the sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus can do whatever he wants to with you after that. But the sign is, you no longer are infatuated with the name. You're infatuated with the man. He becomes the hero. He becomes your idol. He becomes the one you want to look like, act like, sound like. That's what being filled with the Holy Spirit is. In person and in personality. He is still the same today. Who is still the same? God, Jesus, and Mary. Not that Mary, you Mary. You want Jesus' birth? You're going to be true to God. You're going to be true to his commandments. You want Jesus to come out of you into the world? You're going to have to be true to his commandments. Now, do you know Jesus? Or do you know about him? Do you know him or do you know his name? You'd be surprised how many Christians think that Jesus' name is Jesus Christ. It wasn't. Whatever Joseph and Mary's last name was, that was his last name. And he was only called Jesus because somebody told him to name him that. His name was Emmanuel. I don't want to know Jesus. I want to know Emmanuel. I'm stepping on all kinds of religious toes. I'm not trying to take away from the name of Jesus. That's illegal and immoral, and I won't do that. But I do know this. When you're born again, you introduce the name Jesus. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you enter into the life of Jesus. Or, let me say it better, his life enters and takes away yours. He who is birthed by the Holy Spirit let me ask you this. We always talk about being born again. That's good. I mean, that's exactly correct. Nothing wrong with that. But what happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit? If you want to get into a mysterious mystique, start asking people what that means. And you'll get some of the weirdest answers in the world. But I'm telling you, born again is when you're born into Jesus. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is when Jesus is born into you. I mean, he begins to consume you like you can't believe. When he is born into us, that is who we become. When's the last time you heard an angel come along, pick a shepherd, and say, "Go over here to the nearest manger and you'll get a picture of Jesus," or "You can see Jesus"? That's not going to continue to happen. What happens now is the Holy Spirit comes and says, boom, and advertises on and in your life, "Here's Jesus." You understand what I said? When he comes and he's birthed into you, you go away. You ever notice something happens to women when they're pregnant? They change, and the focus goes away from them and onto other parts. Their focus, other people's focus. You walk into the room, they go, "Oh!" When they're young and virgins, they go, "Oh!" When they get pregnant, they go, "Oh!" Especially the women. "Oh!" It's what's supposed to happen. When we get pregnant with Jesus, the focus is supposed to go off of us onto Him. People go, oh, in their minds, that's what Jesus looks like. Or they go, who? That's what Jesus looks like? And that latter happens way too much. Our names are changed. Mary's name was changed from Mary to highly favored of God. So what's my name? What's your name? When people tell you the opposite, does that change your name? Because I guarantee you, there were some people that looked at Mary and said, I know your name, whore. Come on. They were people then. Don't tell me they didn't say that. I don't want her at my party. She's an unwed mother. And yet, a word from God came to Mary and said, highly favored one. And guess who she became? She accepted the word of God in her life, and she became not the whore, not the outcast, but the highly favored one. Praise God. You guys should get excited about that a little bit. There's a lot of people out there that want to tell you how bad you are. Not too many want to tell you that you're highly favored one. So I've got to be valuable in your life. I'm telling you this morning, God is calling you highly favored one. You hearing me, Gene? Well, what's all this other stuff you come up with? Your name is highly favored one. Does that make any difference what your history tells you? Or your enemies tell you? Or even some of your bad friends? You know what your name is? When Jesus was birthed, when Jesus was announced, when He was conceived, we were given everything that we could ever need. When was that? Well, to the world, 2,000 plus years ago. I don't know about to you. You have to determine when that happened. Or the world will. They'll determine whether you're full of Jesus or something else. But we're given everything that we ever want or need in Christ Jesus, which is more than enough, which is far beyond anything we could ever think or ask. And guess what? Forever. In Romans 11:29, it says, for God's gifts and His call can never be withdrawn. He will never go back on His promises. That's Romans 11:29. Now, do you believe God? So, yesterday or the day before, whenever, last weekend, when you weren't feeling like you were highly favored of God, you have to fall back on that promise, that man that you know, that God that you know, that says, I never take the promises back. I've called you highly favored one. I'm not taking that back. And I've given you everything, and I'm not taking that back. Can y'all believe that? Even when it hurts? Even when it don't feel so good? And when I'm not feeling so good? You just keep on believing that, right? Why? Because it's the truth. And if I'm trying to go anywhere else, then I'm trying to go down the road of a lie. See, if somebody caught you going down the wrong way on a one-way street, you'd think it's a blessing if somebody came along and said, turn around, you're going the wrong way. Then why, when somebody tells you that, that's spiritually led by God to tell you that, don't get mad at them. Turn around and go the other way. If you're not feeling good enough about yourself, you're going the wrong way. Will God use you? He'll use anybody in any place in their life they are. But I'd rather Him use me in the place He wants me to be. All Jesus asks in return is the same that He gave to us. What's that? Well, He gave us the gift of all in all. So what do you think He might require of us? A gift of our all in all. Y'all do exchange gifts, don't you? You know what that means? Well, God started it. He wants the exchange. He's not a one-way God. I wish we'd get that out of our religious system. God is not just a giver. He's a taker. If you don't believe it, you offer him something from you. See if he don't take it. I don't care if it's dirty. I don't care if it's even wrapped wrong. He'll take it. What are you chuckling about? I'll tell you what's funny to me is how some of you are bored and some of you are think that's funny. And I'm blown away. This is God telling you something. I told you this morning, he calls you highly favored one. The God of the universe calls you the highly favored one. Now I've given it. He tells you, I gave you everything. All riches, all health, all wealth, all power, all authority. And all I ask you is to give me what you got. And you know what? What's strange about that? He didn't list it. He listed what he would give to us and never once put a list of what he required from us. He just said all. You know what's strange about that? Is we spend the rest of our lives finding all of those things we haven't given to him yet. It's like, oh, here it is, God, here's all of it. And so he starts leading you around and saying, what about this? What about that? What about that? Oh, I forgot about that, God. See, God doesn't forget. When he said, I give you all, it was all. He doesn't say, when you get around to it, I'll reach in here and give you another penny. He's not a tightwad like some of us. The other thing he asks is that when we give, that we're true to him and there's no possibility of withdrawing. That means you have to say, I'm not taking it back. Well, what happens when I take it back? Well, we give it to him again. And we give it to him again until we get tired of either taking it back or giving it to him. We wear ourselves out into righteousness. Sound like a good message. Don't we wear ourselves out into righteousness? Now, there's two things we've established here this morning. One, evidently the world needed Jesus. And number two, we need Jesus. It's not enough to introduce the world to Jesus. And it's not enough to say, I know Jesus. We saw it in the shepherds. They found out there was Emmanuel. Then they went and told everybody. They experienced. You understand they must have experienced something miraculous right there that day? I mean, more than just angels, an angelic vision. There's something happened when they looked in the face of that babe and they heard the word of God and they felt the definition. This was an experience. Not like visiting the zoo and seeing the little pandas. This was a moving experience. And it wasn't just the babe in swaddling clothes. It was a whole picture. God never deals with one thing to change you. He deals with great picture. You hear me? Great picture. When I see Jesus, I need to see a great picture. What we need in our life is a visitation with Jesus. I don't need an altar moment. I mean, I do need that. I'm sorry I said I don't. I did need that. But then I needed something else. The shepherds heard about Jesus. Then they went and saw him. Then they went out and told everybody. If too many of us have received the gift of the name, but we haven't had the experience of the man. Therefore, we don't feel like telling anybody. Because he hasn't consumed us yet. You know, after I spent a lot of my life in the Nazarene church and having their explanation of what being filled with the Holy Spirit is, but you never use that terminology. I don't know how they explain this one in the scripture. The Holy Spirit moving upon Mary. In that denomination, it was sanctified, which means set apart. Same effect, just they didn't want to be part of the crowd that said be filled with the Holy Spirit. They were wrong. When I began to have a relationship with the Word, not the Bible, but with the Word, I began to find things in the Word that were pointing me away from the denomination. Isn't that strange? Now, I don't preach that as a doctrine because somebody will get mad at you, but my relationship first with the Bible and then that led me to the Word led me away from my relationship with the church. And the church had consumed me. That's why I had to be led away from it. God doesn't want you to be consumed with a church or a denomination, I should say. And I began to seek the Lord with all my heart. I thought. I found out there's more, but that's okay. With all my heart at that moment, I sought Him. And it took me out of the marriage. How do you like that one? If you think God is against divorce, why did He lead me into a divorce? That's right, He had plans. And my other half did not share those plans. That's very obvious to this day. More obvious to me this moment than any time in my life. That God was in me being separated from an unequally yoked marriage. God was in that. I don't care, anybody here in this tape, I don't care what you think. I know what's real to me.
Yeah.
And then somebody said, well, you need to get baptized. Okay. I didn't say, let's get baptized. I said, give me a little while. And they said, what for? I said, I'm going to pray and fast. Whatever's in that baptism, I want it. What was in that baptism? Water. You know what the true baptism was going on in me? Had nothing to do with water. It had to do with the sacrifices that I was walking through. Just like Mary. She was asked to sacrifice. And because she did, we call it nature. God said that you are a highly favored one because you sacrificed for me. I was looking forward to some supernatural thing that happened at baptism. Nothing happened. Are you hearing me? Nothing happened at that baptism. Something happened later. I remember one time seeking the Lord in the middle of a service that wasn't even all that good. Just out of the blue, right over on the left-hand side, I saw Jesus. I had my experience with the man. You can call it being filled with the Holy Spirit. You can call it anything you want. Let me tell you what I did. Jesus was conceived in me in a way that had never happened in my life. Sought Him for 30 years, more than that, and I met Him. I finally figured out what the gift was. What did He say? Nothing. What did the babe in the manger say? Nothing. Ah! Come on. We're talking about an experience. Not with the face of a man, but the character of a man. The character of God the Father was in that manger. The shepherds walked in and were moved by the character, by who God was in that young baby. Never been the same since I saw Him. Didn't say anything, didn't do anything. Just showed up and left. What do you think He has to do? He's not a circus clown. He don't perform for people. People perform for Him. All you need to do is have a presence to change the world. Not, you got to give presence to have the presence. Two different spellings here. God moved me at that moment from everything that I thought I knew to everything that I didn't know and needed to know. Just like that. We need to be filled like Mary. The Holy Spirit needs to move on us and completely turn our lives upside down. Wrong side out. We need to go through some pangs of birth. Let's just call them pains. That's what they are. Some pains of birth. We need to go through some nursing. We need to go through some diaper changing. Some old stinky stuff, puking. I'm talking about dealing with people. Mary and Joseph did that for us. They thought they were doing it for them, but they did it for us. You hear me? That's why they were called favored ones. They experienced the announcement to the world. They experienced the personal presence of Jesus. Old story? Nope. Read about its joy. going through it again, that's joy. The Holy Spirit is calling us today, foretelling us who Jesus needs to be in us, for us, and for the world. A gift to us and a gift to the world through us. Let me read this scripture. I read it to you last week. I'm going to read it again. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. We heard the angels say, Emmanuel has been given. In Malachi, here's what we heard. Chapter 4, verse 2. But to you who fear my name, God says, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Can you imagine what Mary felt, what Joseph felt, what the shepherds felt, what the angels were feeling? The joy, the euphoria, the new world. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. Now that's the gift that God gave. This is the foretelling of it. Then we talked about it today. We read it. It's already happened, and I'm recommending that it happen to you again. What happens, Stan? Healing. If Jesus is alive, you need healings. You need wings. You don't need healing. You need wings. You need to be like stall-fed calves. What does a stall-fed calf do? He looks to his feeder all the time. He waits for the man that's got the food to come down and feed him. He don't try to make his way. His way is made. He tramples the wicked. What did I tell you this morning? Don't you let somebody tell you how wrong you are. If you are righteousness, if you have the Son in your life, you're healed spiritually, physically, mentally, financially, then you don't take that kind of guff from the wicked. Because you're a highly favored one. The Son of Righteousness has already risen for you. You know who you are. You know what you are. You know you're healed, saved, delivered. You know that you follow the one that has all righteousness, all knowledge, all wisdom, all understanding. What about when I don't have understanding? Harry asked us a question this morning. Well, you're going to have to ask. For that kind of situation, God will speak to you. When does he speak to you? When you say, I need some speaking. I need somebody to speak to me. One of the things that Bill remembers when we first met, he remembers this because God moved. He asked me a question about his son. I had no experience in this area. Quietly, I said, God, help. I don't know this answer. You're going to have to get him an answer. Now, he wasn't impressed with my answer. He's impressed with the answer that God gave. If you say it out loud, you'd probably not be impressed because God ain't speaking it. He had spoken it to him. When's the last time you trampled the wicked? I don't mean hurt people. We're talking about the wickedness. They shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. When's the last time you walked on insults? Are you hearing me? When's the last time you walked on an insult? Somebody ends up calling you a dodo bird for serving God. Smile. You're walking on the insult. I practiced in a little while verbally by saying, how does it feel to be wrong? That's how I started overcoming that nonsense. When you walk up and say, how's it feel to be wrong? You insult them because you're saying, I don't know how it feels to be wrong. That's what you're really saying. Do you know that Jesus today? Or you know about it? You know the one that dwells, that causes you to feel pregnant? Like something's going to burst out of you? Sometimes does. Often does. Have you had the experience the changes just boom, just changes every way you think. I didn't ask if it has to be like this. It doesn't have to be like that. It can be ongoing. I'm not. You know, one thing I've found out is anybody that's coming up with a formula, if you'll do 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, you'll get 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. They don't know what they're talking about. Jesus is the formula. He determines how it's walked out. Where'd that come from? I guess so. I don't even know what it is. That's kind of the way Jesus does. He just uses what's available. Amen. We are blessed. We're extremely blessed. It's absolutely amazing that God would see fit to do what we've talked about this morning. I'm blown away at every time the God of the universe would deal with specks like us and call us favored and call us bride and call us son and call us daughter and call us friend. Give us all power and all authority to walk on evil and ashes of insult, even if we insult. You understand we insult our sin is an insult to ourselves? And we're still given the ability to walk on that as ashes? We are some of the few that are right. I don't know if you can't tell, right burns in me. Right is just the most important thing there is. Righteousness, if you like that word better. And if I were in the Iraqi army, I don't think I'd have a lot of pride. But if I'm in the right army, I should have all the pride. And Jesus has blessed me enough. God has blessed me enough to run me down, run me over. Starting at the age of about 4 or 5 years old, and has never, ever stopped. Never, ever stop. Now, you have the same testimony. You may not acknowledge it yet, but that nag that's on your case is God. And stop calling him a nag and start giving him some honor and glory for doing it. I mean, all he's doing is trying to get you to stop long enough to call you highly favored one. Now, we're favored. I got a hold of a little bit of this a long time ago. It needs to be regenerated often, by the way. That's what preaching is about. It's just a reminder of things past. But I'll remind you again, that time Connie and I, we bought tickets to Chicago. We were going to a show. And we got on the plane in Corpus Christi, Texas, the most God-forbidden airport in the entire world. Nothing there works. It's called international, and they can't get out of town. We got on that jet, and it got out there on that runway, and it started taking off, and the most ungodly noise, and the whole thing sounded like it was going to come apart. And that pilot, just at rotation, that's when the front wheel starts coming up, and he shut that thing down, crammed his brakes on. Runways are not long in Corpus. And he did something brilliant. He said, we're not going to take off as long as this plane's not making noise like that. Remember that? And Connie's got white knuckles. Everybody on the plane saying, Lord, get me off this thing. Not everybody. God puts these things in our paths. We were right where we were supposed to be to learn some lessons. And I'm going, God, I'm okay. You said so. There's not a mechanic in Corpus. So they radio the mechanics in Houston and give him a scenario. And the guy says, do this, switch to that, do this, and it'll be okay. Why not? The mechanic's in the garage. He can't crash. No skin off his nose. That's the world we're in. We can't depend on somebody else to get us anywhere. They go back to the other end of the runway. They throttle this thing and just at rotation. I mean, I can't even describe it. It sounded like the plane was going to come apart right on the runway. This guy slams the brakes on, shuts the engines down. We got to find out what that is. That's what he's saying. So this is not a normal thing. What I'm trying to tell you, it scared the pilots. They go back to the taxi, well, I mean to the gate, and open the door, and everybody got off. I'm not too sure the pilots were still on. I don't remember. But Connie looked at me and said, because I'm still sitting there. She said, are we going to get off? I said, no. We bought a plane. We bought a ticket on this plane to get to Chicago, and this plane is going to take us to Chicago. Well, I don't know if she totally agreed with that. But I was lost in God, and I wasn't asking even for her opinion. I made my mind up. We're going to walk in faith. Did we make it? We weren't crowded, were we? When that plane took off, we were not crowded. Most of them did not get back on that plane. There you go. We didn't crash. Just as I expected, we didn't crash. Just as I expected, Emmanuel was on the plane with us. And he don't enjoy crashing. That's right. While they were waiting there, we just laid back and went to sleep. And Karen was in the back seat counting her rosary and reading her Bible and everything else she could think of. She wasn't there. She wasn't there. I just... God wants us to rely on Him more than airplanes, more than cars, more than the paycheck, more than the doctor, more than anything in the world. He's given us everything, and He's always saying, what is wrong with those people? And Jesus is saying, I got it under control. I'll deal with them. Let me visit with them. Call an advocate. We are extremely favored, highly favored ones. Amen? I'm going to play you a little, about 5 minutes from a CD. And whether you like this or not, really doesn't make any difference. You can absolutely get lost in what this man does. It's an old-time black preacher that gets excited about the name of Jesus, and he starts going off on all these things. Some of them you probably won't understand, but just get involved in the excitement. Somebody took it and put it to rhythm and music, and it's just, it blows me away every time I hear it. Go ahead.
The Bible says, my king is a seven-way king. He's a king of the Jews. That's a racial king. He's a king of Israel. That's a national king. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Well, I wonder, do you know him? If you know him today, he supplies. passionate. He regards the age. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. Well, this is my king. He is the key. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he's in this. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimony to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. And thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. How long is that? And ever, and ever, and when you get through with all of the forevers, then amen. Good God Almighty, amen. Amen. Amen.
I wonder, do you know it?
Something they added in. Somebody, whoever was putting the music with it. The guy got wound up, didn't he? Well, praise the Lord. One of the things I think so. And he's trying to get somebody else to. One of the things he said I found was interesting was he enjoys the solitude of himself. Stands. Anyway, y'all stand with me. I think when we stand on our own, when we can literally stand and say, I am who I am. And I don't mean that mockingly. Knowing that you are in Christ Jesus, that describes solitude of himself. That's righteousness. I stand in righteousness. I'm unashamed when I stand in righteousness. Praise the Lord. Well, I'll repeat what he said one more time. Everybody here know Jesus? Because I wouldn't want to enter into Christmas right now unless I knew him. Hallelujah. All righty. All hearts clear. I take it. All right. Then I want to bless you with an outstanding Christmas. Yes. All right. Stick them up. What? Laramie. Oh, okay. Gift, right?
Yeah.
And you expect to have a better one come. Not because we're selfish, because that is the plan of God. Well, all right, once again, we speak what Jesus gave, which is peace that passes understanding. I speak this. That Richard stands in the promises of God, not in a better dog, but a better relationship with God in whatever form that is. That the gift that we talked about this morning that's bestowed on every one of his children. Richard, are you one of his children? Okay, you're his bride? Then you're a highly favored one. See, I never said that righteousness didn't hurt. When Jesus was righteous on the cross, it hurt. But he stood in the future. Richard, you going to stand in the future? All right, then that's where the excitement is. That's where the joy is. It's in the future, not in the pain for the moment. Amen? Everybody reach there and say, peace, Richard. Just put your hand, peace, Richard, in Jesus' name. Let me tell you what. You need Jesus' presence more than you need Laramie's presence. Amen? So get your eyes off of one and put them on the other. Watch that presence. Watch that man that God gave us as a gift come alive in you. I'd much rather have him than anything else. Amen? All right. Anyone else? That was our prayer, by the way. We may pray strange around here, but God hears. Anybody else? Yes. Those people need Jesus, and he's asked for the special anointing to introduce. He can be the shepherd. We speak the shepherdness in him right now, in Jesus' name, not for Harry's feelings and not so much for the individuals, but because the world, first, they can pronounce it as a world, he can pronounce it as a world blessing. And second, Jesus, they meet Jesus. They meet Jesus, not hear about him. But for the first time, he comes with an anointing and a power where he introduces Jesus to these people. Their lives are instantly changed, not for Harry, not for this church, but for God, for the kingdom that will never end. Hallelujah. Everybody that says it's true, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Go ahead. What else? Well, especially you two. Especially you one, which means you two. You need to walk on the ashes of your past. You really do. You don't have a bad past. You just have had many people tell you you got a bad past. And you believe that way too much. And you can't be God's minister until you do what when you're walking like stall-fed calves. Walking on wickedness and walking on the ashes of wickedness, yours and others. And you've got to be strong enough. When people say to you, who are you? You know what you did? No. Paul said this. No. I don't know what you're talking about. He was a murderer of Christians. And he said, that's not me. I've never harmed anybody. That's what he said. A killer of Christians. And he, because he was born again and it became real to him, he said, I've never harmed any man. That's walking on the ashes of unrighteousness and wickedness. You don't let that be a stumbling block. Now that I've said that, y'all agree that they can do that, have the power and the authority? Well, in Jesus' name, because God is placing people in their path. See, he's saying it wrong. He's not being placed in their path. They're being placed in your path. If you're going to walk over wickedness, you've got to expect some wickedness to be put in your path. Amen? That means you're going to walk over it, not because you're high and mighty, but because your footprint, your handprints are going to change people. Amen? It changed people. And as Harry asked for the anointing, the power, and authority, we speak that unto you also in Jesus' name. Not so that you can walk proud, but you can be proud in the banner. You can be proud in Jesus. You can be proud in the work that he does in these people. And nobody needs like some of these people he's talking about need. Nobody could do a greater work. And I'm putting them down. I'm saying they need Jesus. You need to introduce him like never before. Christmas becomes alive and real to them by your words and by your actions in Jesus' name. Amen? Everybody agree? See, that's what we need to see. We need to see more and more people bowled over by our righteousness. You hear me? And be bold enough to say that I'm expecting lives to change because I am highly favored of God. Why? Because I've been righteous. Righteousness is a man. He walks over unrighteousness. He changes unrighteousness. That's what we need to see happening. Amen? Everybody in here needs to see that happening. Hallelujah. That's the biggest thing. You hear what he said, unforgiveness of yourself. It's the biggest thing that hinders Christians. Is they want to forgive everybody else, but they never want to forgive themselves. And God deals with you before he deals with anybody else. He'll do that. That's the first thing God heals in people. I had such a hard time that God had to erase my memory in certain areas. I mean, literally, it is not there anymore. I can empathize with Paul, or I understand what Paul says when he said, I never harmed any man. Because I can remember people bringing things back to me and that, no, I don't remember that. You don't remember? No, it didn't happen. Oh, now you freaked them. Now they think they're crazy. They are. They don't know God. They're trying to bring up my history. God didn't bring up my history.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to be a blessing to our family. You need to be blessings to your family. That means you need to be the light of the world. They don't need to be the light in your eyes. You need to be the light in theirs. Amen? That's your position. That's your calling. And your calling is without recompense. It can't be taken back. Amen. Until the day she walks in hell. She's got a reward. I talked to a lady this week. She talked to me and I listened. About this big, bright in the eyes. He's 90. Whatever. I can't hardly count past that. But she was lonely. She was lonely. She's in the middle of a room of people, and she's just an old lady. You know how people... And she walked. This is the way she walked. She was holding her money, counting it, you know. And I knew she's coming. I just stood there. She said, you know, all of my life, I wanted everything to be exactly right. And now I'm having trouble. I don't remember. I can't count. And I don't like it. And she's talking, well, you got to go, you know. Been in her church all her life. Met her husband as when they were young people in the church. Married 66 years. And the husband is dead. Pastor's wife, yeah. And I'm in my heart, I'm saying, God, there's nothing I can do for her. You be her source. You be her healer. You be her help. Yeah. What can I do? Well, one thing Stan can change is I can be nice to her. I don't have to be so busy that I can't talk to her. So I stood there for how long?
A long.
That's right. And I made up my heart. I made up my mind. That's right. I made up my mind that I wasn't going to stop this conversation. Of course, then I had to because I had to go. But I was able to remind her, because life is not always nice, that God knew where her husband was. And he went to a better place. And she's looking forward. I said, you're looking forward to that, right? You're supposed to be a minister of life, not death. I am telling you I'm a minister of life. Yeah. I'm looking forward. I'm not longing. But when it comes, when I'm 90-something years old and I'm down here like this, I want somebody to remind me where I'm going. And I've worked hard. I said, you've worked hard all your life to get there. You're going to make it? Well, yes. Okay. Then you know what she said? Never had an old person tell me this. Never had hardly anybody tell me this. I have enjoyed talking to you so much. I didn't do much talking. But she said, you act like you feel me. You can understand me. That's a little, I'm going, how old am I? No. We're ministers of righteousness.
Right.
And I'm telling you, nothing's become more real to me than when mom and dad died. What happens in old age doesn't need to happen. You don't need to be isolated and alone and nobody understands you and nobody listens. It's not right. It's not right. We've got to get corrected in those areas. And one of the things I'm disappointed about life is that so much knowledge goes down the tube when we die. When an old person dies, they take so much knowledge and so much experience and we don't tap into it before it happens. Just listen. You know, just listen. Why do you think I repeat my parents and grandparents a lot? Because even though sometimes you think that's joke, there's no more wisdom in the world than saying wish in one hand and spit in the other and see which one gets full the quickest. If that won't shake you back into reality, nothing will. Spit always kind of gets your attention, you know. I hope that the Lord ministered to you this morning. We're going to end this again. I want to bless you. Bless you in this Christmas time, not with me and not with the lack of me, but with Jesus. Amen. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you be a minister of righteousness. Amen. You be the quiet one that's listening to say something that will change people's lives. Amen?
Amen.
And expect that God's saying to you in the midst of that, highly favored one, do this, do that, think this way. Slip those little jewels into your mind that changes your focus. It's no longer on that tree that you got 10,000 ornaments on, but it's what Christmas is about. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Once again, all hearts clear. I was sitting with Marion the other day, and I wish I could see the miles she's been. I wish I could get into the mileage, because that's what makes the wisdom. I'd like to see every place she's been and see everything she's done, even the bad stuff. I'd like to see it because it makes you so much wiser. Amen? All right. Father, we love you. We trust you. Thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice and your gift. Lord, as we go through these next 10 days or so, let us keep our mind focused on you. That we don't lose it in a Laramie, or we don't lose it in a hospital room, or we don't lose it by somehow the devil stealing our peace and our joy. But we stay focused on you. And especially in this time, it should be so easy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That would be should be the thing that comes out of our mouth the most. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When it hurts, thank you, Jesus. When we're full of joy, thank you, Jesus. When we look at grandkids and we have a little tear, thank you, Jesus. When we miss our friends, thank you, Jesus. You become more real than anything else there is. And Lord, if you just help us with that, we'll give you thanks and praise and joy. We'll give you our lives forever. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are my gift. And I am the gift to you. And that's sealed by your blood and by my death to you in Jesus' name. Everybody that receives this message and the prayer that I just prayed, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.